Magyanat mirandasya gnanjana shlakaya chakshur militam yena tasmai shri guravinamaha shri chaitanya manobhishtam stapitam idam tale svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svaprandikam shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadha shri vasari gaur bhaktivinoda hare krishna 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 hare hare rama 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 rama. Do we need to share? Okay? I couldn't sit like this. Indian style. So today we are celebrating Ram Navami. When one sees the suffering of the world, naturally the question arises, why is that so? Like in my own case, my brother died of cancer. He died with 7 years. His cancer started with four. His skull had to be opened 5 times. And finally he died, and good so, because it was sheer suffering for himself, for the family. I asked the priest at that time, Catholic priest, I'm coming from a Catholic background, Father, why is that so? Where's God in all this? I was 12 years old, very young. He said, I don't know. I said, but it says in the Bible, as you sow, you will reap. What has he sown? He was just a child. He said, I don't know. And I said to him, Father, you just turned me into an atheist. I said to him, you turned me into an atheist because there is no new reason for the suffering in the world if there's only one life. What has he done? He was just a child. So in the absence of a defined concept of soul, you cannot explain even simple things. Why people suffer all of a sudden, a child. It's the hardest thing to take of all things in this world, the death of a child, for the parents, especially for the mother, is the hardest thing to take. My mother, she stayed with Jesus, but she never recovered. She never recovered from it. Can you imagine? Youngest child, you know, she never recovered. So then later, 2001, what was it, September 11th, the Trade Center collapsed. And the Bishop of New York spoke in the sermon to his followers. He said, where was God in New York yesterday? He said, I'm losing my faith. Where was God in New York last year? God was right there. This was God. Time I am destroyer of the world. We had about 500 people, devotees of Krishna, working in the World Trade Center at that time. Not one was hurt. Those who worked on the higher stories, 96, 100 stories, they all went late, they had a problem, the car didn't start or whatever. For some reason they couldn't come. Everybody else. We had one devotee. We were trying to get a flat in New York for preaching, and he was an estate agent. And he told us that we wanted to visit him. And he said, no, I can't. Tomorrow I'm very busy. I said, what happened? He said, well, I have to go to the golf course to talk with somebody. I said, you don't play golf. He said, well, it's just, you know, a way to talk to people who go on the golf course. And he was on the 96th story floor. He was not there. All his friends, all his colleagues, killed. There was another devotee. I forgot his name. He was Irish. And he lived in Taiwan. And we were at that time collecting in Taiwan. And he would organize our money that somehow or other we would be able to change it. And he ended up in the World Trade Center. And 5 minutes before impact, he all of a sudden thought that he should go down, take the lift down to see his girlfriend, all of a sudden. Then in the elevator, something happened. And he came out and everybody told him that plane ran into, he was not killed. Miraculously. There are literally hundreds of stories on the internet of people who somehow or other were saved by some reason, and the others went. Why? Because this is all karmana deva netrina, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. According to karma, one takes a particular body. And in this way, the purpose of this material world is very clear if you understand from scripture that this material world is a giant rehab. Rehab or in America, rectification machine. Rectification.
Rehabilitation.
Rehabilitation center. Because we came here because of some adversity, like Bhaktisiddhanta called it, some adversity towards God. And we wanted to be God ourselves, some type of envy was there. And so we came here, and therefore everyone in this material world is a fool that he came here. This is simply foolish. We could have been in this state in the spiritual world, we came there. Even in Christian thought, there's a story Jesus tells of the prodigal son. He's a son who leaves the house of the father. His other brother stays home. He was in Nityasiddha, he stayed home. This one went into Farland Way. That's the material world. And there he suffered so much. Finally, he was so deprived, he has to eat from a trough of pigs. Then he says, oh God, I got to get out of here. And he made his way home, went back to the house of the father. Very simple story, very clear. Crystal clear from a Krishna conscious point of view. And he left the spiritual world, that's you and me and everybody else. And while in the material world, people work very hard. For what? Whatever you gain, whatever you acquire, once the last curtain falls, as I say, the tide rushes in. The tide rushes in, the tide is coming and takes all your castles away. It takes all your castles away. No matter if it's big castle, small castle, everybody in this material world is building his castle. And at the time of death, all this falls apart like a house of cards. Nothing left. And so what is the point of it? It's just like a hamster running his wheel. He's working hard, all right. We agree. He works very hard, but he's not going anywhere. He can run forever. He's not going anywhere. This is a material world. Birth, old age, disease, and death is like a ferret wheel. You know, you don't go anywhere in the material world. Up to the point that one finds a spiritual master such as Srila Prabhupada and follows him. This is the way out. But this material world, there's a purpose in it. And people, you can ask people, what's the purpose of the material world? What is the purpose of life? Ask people. I saw on the YouTube, Keith Richards from the Rolling Stones. Everybody knows Rolling Stones? Keith Richards, famous musician from the Rolling Stone, was asked, what is the purpose of life? What was his answer? He said, to live. To live. Anybody who says different is a fool, he said. Everybody who thinks that, well, it means he. What about Krishna? He says that this life is purposeful. It's meant to achieve love of God. All the sages. So this fool, he considers people foolish who look for God, because he's a fool. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna insults people 5 times, 5 verses. Where Krishna calls them fools. Naham prakasha savasya yoma samavitaha mudoyam namijanati. So many verses. It's foolish. Even if you win a kingdom on earth, it says in the Bible, what is the use, what is the profit if you lose your soul? What's the profit? Of course we can lose a soul, but so to say, the soul can be, says the killer of the soul, whoever he may be, will enter into the darkest regions of ignorance, it says in Upanishad. So this is a soul-killing society. Really soul-killing society. That people, I remember when I was young, when I was a little child, I was quite pious. I had a little altar, I would worship Mary and Jesus and flowers and the whole thing. 4 years, 5 years, 6 years. Then I read books only of saints and sages, Christians. No other book. Then with 12, gradually 14, the whole thing goes to the dogs due to bad association. Whole thing. And I wasted my life from 12 years on up to 25. That's 8 years plus 5 years. That's 13 years of my life was wasted due to bad association in school. And only with 25 years, Krishna forced me back on track. I had no choice but to go towards Krishna consciousness. So this material world is a huge waste of time. And mundane religiosity, whether it's Christian or whether it's Jewish, Muslim, there's some piety there. That is a fact. And if somebody is very serious, Krishna is not partial. Naham, what is this? Namo ham sarva bhuteshu. Namo dvestyo sina priya. Krishna is not partial. I'm equal to all. He may be a Christian, he may be a Muslim. If he's serious, Krishna will take him by the hand. Some other. Not because of his religion, in spite of his religion. In spite of his religion. Because the material religion is just a gigantic piece of mental speculation. Prabhupada said that in Germany, Jesus said one thing, you say another thing. You know, interpretation, that we are projecting our own mind on Krishna or on Jesus. Krishna says, I am not, nobody can understand me. Viraham samatityati, that verse. I know everyone. I know the past, present and future. I know every single soul, but me no one knows. And the same is true for a self-realized soul. Vaishnavya Kriya Mudra, it says in our scriptures, that nobody can understand a Vaishnava unless he's on that level. So what do materialistic people know? In the material world, everybody is fallible. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, there are two types of living beings, the fallible and the infallible. In the material world, everyone is fallible. And in the spiritual world, everyone is infallible. And Krishna says, and I'm even beyond the fallible and the infallible. Everything is explained so nicely. So how do fallible people come to a conclusion? How can they postulate truth? They can't. It's just hocus pocus. And that's why you have, in the name of Jesus, you have 6,000 different denominations who don't agree with each other. Because my opinion is as good as your opinion, everybody has his own Jesus. Everybody has his own interpretation. So this idea of using our mind and senses to understand absolute truth is a fallacy. That's why, what is this verse? Atasi Krishna Namadina Bhavet Graim Indriyai. The Lord, His name, His pastimes, His form, Nabhavet Graim Indriyai, cannot be understood by the senses, which includes the mind. Cannot be understood. It's knowledge of God is apaurushyam. That means inconceivable, achintya, inconceivable. And there's only one way to come to knowledge, and that is through Shastra. It's Vashastra, Yashastra, Vidim Utsrija. One who does not listen to Shastra, Vatati, Kama Karata, and acts out of whim, Kama, mental speculation, Na Sasirma Vabnati. He never achieved perfection, Na Sukham, no happiness, Na Paramgatim, nor will he achieve the supreme destination. That way, that attempt to understand truth through the senses and through the mind is impossible. even what to do and what not to do. Pravittim chana, vittim chana, nana vidu, asura, they don't know. People don't know. So we have to take knowledge from Shastra and from the self-realized soul, the representative of Krishna. Krishna is so great, he doesn't allow us little human beings with a mind full of things to approach him directly. So therefore between himself and us, he puts a person, the spiritual master. And therefore, yasya prasada bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada nagati katopi, by worshipping spiritual master, we will worship Krishna in no other way. So, and if that's not there, if there's no parampara, then sakala niyamata yuguna saparantapa, Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita itself. Ivam praptam imam nadrasya vyudu. Sakala niyamata yuguna saparantapa, when the reciprocal succession is broken, the knowledge is lost. There's no knowledge. And so when there was a tsunami in Japan, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, I forgot, the Pope in Rome had a conference, a teleconference, that people, this was a German Pope at that time, that people could call in asking questions. One little girl from Japan, 7 years old, I have it on my iPad even, she called and she said, Holy Father, you know God, why are so many of my friends dead? Why is that so? And he's a professor for theology, teaches Catholic theology. He was in charge for the doctrine of the faith, huge congregation in the Catholic Church to make sure that everybody's on track. So he knows better than anybody else Christian theology. And he said, I thought the same thing. And I don't have the answer. That every rickshawala in India knows. Ask any rickshawala, if you suffer, why is that? He will tell you, because of karma. What if my little child is suffering? He said, it must be previous life. Immediately, automatically, knowledge, even common, very common, common sense. But as Prabhupada said, common sense is not very common in the Western world. Prabhupada was very charming. He said, common sense is not very common in the Western world. So therefore, the great thing is that some or other, by some Sukriti from past life, without Sukriti is not possible, due to some Sukriti from past life, we don't know, because we cannot look over the threshold of birth and death, predecessing death, we cannot. But if we were able to look, we could know, understand exactly why we are here. There's some reason for it. And so by some Sukriti and by Prabhupada's mercy, it's just like, even if there's so much rain, if the land is not fertile, there will be no production. Right? If the same cloud of rain rains on fertile land, there will be abundant. So there has to be two things. On one side, the recipient has to be able to take it. And then the person who gives it has to be able to do so. These two things, just like even if a man is as potent as a bull, he will never be able to have children if the wife is incapable to conceive a child. Very simple. The wife has to be in healthy condition, the man has to be in healthy condition. Then there can be children. So in the same way, Prabhupada preached to millions of people. Millions and millions of people saw him on the television. But people can't take it. Why? Because there's no Sukriti. Now, when we chant Hare Krishna on the street, when we distribute prasadam, when we have a procession of Lord Jagannath on the street, then Sukriti is created in the lives of the impious. Of the lives of the people who are totally impious, they create Sukriti. Even if they go into a computer shop and said, I need 4 gigabytes of RAM for my computer, he speaks the word RAM. Even he gets a benefit. Even if he books into Ramada Inn, he speaks the word Rama. I remember when I was a little child, My mother used to go shopping, and I always said, "Mommy, there are two famous brands of margarine. You know, margarine is the replacement for butter. One is called Flora, it is made from sunflower seed, and the other is called Rama, which is made from coconut." I said, "Mother, buy me Rama. I would like to drink Rama." And so I kept talking about Rama, you know, throughout my youth, and it was very effective, as you can see. Some other, it's in the shelf. In every shelf of every shop, there's Rama. Somebody had the bright idea, not the bright, somebody, it's a super soul, telling him the product called Rama. He didn't know why. So everything is under Krishna's control. And so Prabhupada has done something amazing. He picked up those people who had some, who were able to hear. Like in the Bible, Jesus said they have eyes and they do not see, they have ears and they cannot hear. And that's most people, they can't hear. But I remember I told last time the story we had in Amsterdam in 1974, earlier, 72. Prabhupada came to Amsterdam and the hotel, Krasnapolsky, almost like Krishnapolsky, on the Dam Square, right in the middle of Amsterdam. In front of it, there's a huge place, and it was packed with hippies, at least 5,000, lying around in the sun. And there was nobody in the audience. So we went down there, and I said, "All of you, come, a guru from India has arrived. He's going to speak. There will be music, there will be dancing, there will be a huge feast you can eat up to your gills, vegetarian feast." Hundreds of people came immediately. The room was full in 5 minutes. The Prabhupada came. He sang Jai Radha Madhava and he looked over his spectacles. And then he started laughing. And he stopped the kirtan and he said to Hansa Dutta, I was sitting right beside him, he said, "You know, these people are useless." He said, "They can't understand anything. Just feed them prasadam, have kirtan, I'm going." And he got up. He got up and he went home. Because they were not able to conceive, they were not able to perceive this knowledge. Now, if you think about it, this movement has distributed millions of books, millions and millions and millions of plates of prasadam. Rath Yatra has been all over the world. People have been seeing it. People talk about the Krishnas, whether they like it or not, cursing us sometimes. There's this enormous amount of Sukriti in the next generation that this movement has created. In this generation, basically speaking, those who had some qualification, they were picked up by Srila Prabhupada. They got a book, they read it, they joined. It happened to me overnight. From one day to another. Next day I was a Hare Krishna devotee. Just by reading one book of Prabhupada, Isupanishad. So that's what's happening on a very huge scale. That Sukriti is created in the lives of many. Lord Chaitanya, he was very sad at one stage. So Haridas Thakur said, "My dear Lord, what is happening? What are you thinking about?" And he said, "Well, when I see these people, they are so sinful. How are they going to start chanting Hare Krishna? How are they going to be saved?" Haridas said, "My dear Lord, you know everything. But still, since you asked me, even the Muslims, when they say haram, they say the word Ram. And due to that chanting of Ram, I mean, even when they say Ramadhan, they say the word Ram, you know. By chanting the name of God, extremely potent, something happens, some purification of incredible dimensions takes place. We cannot perceive it, but something is happening. Something is happening." And so we can see that the prediction that was made for 5,000 years ago by Krishna himself to Mother Ganga in Brahma Vaivata Purana. Ganga was very disturbed. She said, "When you leave, Kali Yuga will come and people will simply bathe in my waters and deposit their sins into my water and I will go down to hell." So Krishna says, my dear Ganga, do not worry. He said, there will be another plan. There will be another plan. He said, there will be another plan. He said, my devotees will be everywhere. And every place they go will become a place of pilgrimage. Like Prabhupada, wherever he went, it became a place of pilgrimage. He was a prototype, practically speaking, in the Western world, of a person of that caliber. And then people, there will be widespread reading of Srimad Bhagavatam. Widespread. And third thing, he said, people will offer their food. Because that's required. Devotees of the Lord become free from our sin because they offer food and sacrifice. Those who don't eat only sin. There's another verse where it says that every sacrifice is only complete in the presence of prasadam. Prasadam is very important, extremely important. This is one of the three legs. They will cause a complete change in consciousness. Prithivityachyarinarargrama. Lord Chaitanya Krishna not just left it with words. He came, he did, he put it into action. He put his plan B into action by appearing 500 years ago. And he predicted that his chanting will go everywhere. And that's what's happening. When we came, in the beginning it was very simple, everything. I remember in Hamburg also, we were living at the lower end of the existential minimum, practically speaking. It was cold in winter, we had no money to heat. So cold. I remember when we went to Bhakti Bhava Swami, myself, we were supposed to open a center in Berlin, 1972. And we had only one address, householder couple was living there with their two children in the ground floor. And we came, he said, can we stay with you? He said, well, we have one room, a kitchen corner, and a toilet and shower. They were interested in Krishna consciousness. He said, well, I realized the floor was made out of wood. And underneath there's nothing, there's just some space. You know, suspended floor. I said, well, you have a saw? He said, yes. So I sawed a hole in it and took it out. And there was a space. And Bhakti Bhava Swami and myself, we went down there and digged the hole. So that 2 by 2 meters, that at least we could sit. And we put a carpet in there, lighted a candle, closed the hole. The children were screaming, husband and wife were arguing, and we were laughing underneath saying, welcome to the Sri Sri Radha Krishna temple. And it was so cold at night. In the morning, we had some glass of water standing there. In the morning, the glass was burst. So I could not see myself now to live like that. Even to lie on a mat, on a straw mat, I couldn't. Inconceivable. And so many devotees, they went through so many difficulties in the beginning. It was really difficult at times. Really difficult. And but still, gradually, due to the determination of unbroken determination of Srila Prabhupada, he was a huge mountain of piety, a huge mountain of mercy, a mountain of compassion. He suffered so much abuse in the beginning when he was staying on the Bowery. I remember years ago, maybe 15 years ago, I was sitting in Golden Gate Park opposite Hippie Hill, where Prabhupada was singing and introduced the Hare Krishna movement to San Francisco, to the West Coast. I was sitting there and chanting in the morning, beautiful, sun was shining, Temple Carl Street was just 250 yards away, and an old man came, a black hobo, homeless person, came, and he pushed a shopping cart with all his belongings inside. You have seen, maybe, in the West. And they push all their belongings in the shopping. So he came by and he stopped in front of me and looked at me for 1 minute at least, if not two. And I was getting worried. I was sitting there, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So then he said, he was praising Prabhupada. That guy, he said, who pulled this off, the Hare Krishna movement, he was a cool cat. He said he was a cool cat. This is the highest praise you can get in the Western, in the black community. A cool cat. He was saying, he was living in the house in the Bowery. I was there. I was living there as well. The house was a total mess. A total mess. He said, but then again, he said, Jesus was born in a barn. He said. And then he walked away. It was very beautiful to make this comparison. You know that in utter poverty, both were born. And Prabhupada's movement was born in utter poverty in the beginning. Prabhupada had no money. You know, he could hardly live. Even when he was, I told you the story, I don't know if I told it here or in class, that even when he was living in Radha Damodar temple before coming to America, he was so sick. His godbrothers, two visited him and says, you're sick and you're lying on a straw mat. You should get a bed, otherwise you will not recover. And Prabhupada said, I want to spend every paisa for book distribution. Can you imagine that? Every paisa for book distribution, not for his personal comfort. You can't call it really personal comfort if somebody has a bed. It's just a bottom line of human requirement. So much sacrifice. So much sacrifice. And therefore Krishna helped him left and right to establish a Hare Krishna movement. People came to him in a miraculous way. Everybody has his own story. Some stories are extraordinary. Recently, when I go to Russia from time to time, somebody told me a story. It's printed in a book of one of our ISKCON gurus in Russia. There was one boy, he was an atheist student. And when he saw the Hainam party, he was joking with his friends, pointing finger at them, laughing. The devotees were innocent, they were waving him. They saw he was laughing. They thought he was laughing with them. They didn't know that he was laughing about them. So he waved back. And this went on every time he saw the devotees, everyone, they're the penguins again, the dancing penguins, you know, chanting. And the devotees always waved him, and he waved back. One day, at night, he was driving, it was snow drive, and he couldn't see anything. All of a sudden, boom. He went into a truck, drove head on in a truck that was lying across the street. The light went out. And then all of a sudden, the light went on. Brilliant light. Whew! Three monsters came to him. Tusks, claws, horns, horrible faces. And they said, there he is! And they threw a lasso around his neck and pulled him out, the soul, and dragged him. Within seconds, he appeared in a big hall, in a big palace. There was a man sitting on the throne. He said, Nikolai Ivanovich, I've been waiting for you. What has he done? Chitragupta stood up. Well, you know, his life was a mess. He was hunting women, he was drinking vodka, he was lying, he was stealing, so many things, one sin after the other. Whole life was full of sin. Yamaraj said, very bad. Is there anything good? He said, yes. One thing, whenever he saw the devotees of our Lord, Krishna, Yamaraj went like, shh. Whole audience, hundreds of people, they all went like this for a moment. You could hear a pin dropping on the ground. They all were absorbed in pious prayer to Krishna. He said, when he saw, Yamaraj said, what? So when he saw the devotees, he would wave them. He said, how many times did he do that? Well, 32 times. Everything is in the books. Yamaraj said, very good. Excellent. Excellent. What if I give you another chance, Nikolai Ivanovich? The boy was studying. He said, I become a high Krishna. He said, Hari Bol! The man on the throne clapped his hand. He said, Hari Bol, you go right back. And he was thrown back by an irresistible force into his body. And he opened his eyes and two doctors were pressing his breast and said, he's coming, we're getting him. And he went to the temple. And the devotee said, you're so fortunate. People meet this man on the throne when it's too late. You met him and you have another chance. You're very fortunate. And he became a devotee, and he still is. So there are many ways how Krishna brings people to Krishna consciousness, in many times in a very miraculous way. Myself also, it was a miracle, you know. So this is our movement, you know, this is a very special movement predicted by Lord Krishna to happen. And Krishna's will, whatever Krishna will, it will be done. It's just a question of time. And so, although it may appear that we are not anymore in the same situation like in the 70s and 80s, where people in the Western countries, they would join us like anything. I would shave up sometimes 2 people a day. I would sleep with my shaver. I was in Croatia or so, I said, is there anybody at the end of the class who would like to shave his head in some hall? Somebody said, yeah. And I said, all right, you're lucky, I got my shaver. And I shaved him right there. There was a kirtan. He's still a devotee. It was an amazing amount. If Prabhupada would have come during the time of Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra, it would have been difficult. Because everybody was so absorbed, the generation after the war, you know, to enjoy like mad the American dream. But then the cracks appeared and people became dissatisfied. Young people with the life of their parents and with the life of Western civilization. And the stage was set for Srila Prabhupada. And it went on for a good while. It was the spring and the summer of the Hare Krishna movement. Then the autumn comes and now we are in winter in Western countries. It's not so easy to bring people to the movement. I'm asking myself, I mean, we could convince hundreds of people at that time. Asking myself, I'm the same Prithudas, the same body, like Arjuna was lamenting. He said, I'm the same Arjuna, the same Boga Deva. And Krishna has left me the power to speak, to fight. So, but after the winter, time is cyclic. After the winter, there is summer. Matra spashas tu kaunte, sitoshna, sukadukata, agama pairos, nityas. Tam siti kshasva, bharata, the temporary appearance of happy, like summer and winter season. So after the winter, there will be summer again. And I think we will have millions of people join in Western countries, the Hare Krishna movement. Already, there are signs of the younger generation of deep satisfaction, dissatisfaction, this establishment of the world. Yesterday, the day before, 1 million young people protested in America against the policies of the government, against the establishment, particularly in reference to gun control. 1 million people, a lot of people, all young people, 16, 17, 18. Dissatisfied, and it was compared with the 60s generation protesting against Vietnam War. It was compared. So something is happening, because behind the whole show is always Krishna. He's in the heart of everyone. Sarvasya Chaham Vridi Sanivishto Matas Mithya Jnanam Aponamsha. I'm in the heart of everyone. Even in the animals. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam, the Lord of all creatures. Sarva Bhutanam. Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtate. He sits in everyone's heart, even of cow. Brahmayan Sarva Bhutani, and he moves everyone. We cannot lift our hand without Krishna. We cannot speak without Krishna. We cannot see without Krishna. You cannot even lift your arm. You cannot even scratch, poke your nose. You can't without Krishna. Not possible. He's everywhere. And everything is possible only because of him. Therefore, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that I'm the ability in man, the strength of the strong, intelligence of the intelligent. This is Krishna. He's everywhere. He has his fingers in everyone's pocket. And so the earlier we realize that Krishna is the driving force behind everything, the earlier we realize it, the better. It's better to realize it at the time of... It's not so good to realize it at the time of death. Better to make up your mind earlier to see that Krishna is everywhere. And he is really the only shelter. There is no other shelter, believe me. This body is now 72 years old, not exactly young. There's only one shelter. It's not the doctors, they can't help me. I went so many Ayurvedic, it doesn't make a difference. It's not the doctor. The best doctor is Mahaprabhu. He's the best doctor of all. You know, at the end of the day, you know, like Krishna says, in all activities depend on me. Work always under my protection. In this devotional service, you become conscious of me. Because if we engage in devotional service seriously, then we see Krishna is responding to that. We see this little thing, that little thing happens. Happens to me also. You know, some little thing, you see, this is not possible. By normal, it's not normal. So, you become conscious of Krishna. If you become conscious of me, the next verse, Machita, Machita, if you direct your consciousness to me, Machita, Sarva Durgani, all difficulties of life that come from Durga, they call Durgani. Three Durganis. Mother Durga is riding on a tiger and she has a trident, you know. There's tapatrayas, the three sufferings caused by myself, by my mind, by my body, caused by others, caused by demigods. These are the three sufferings. So all this, as a graphical example, say for example, you drive down the road, you fall asleep, you crash your car. What is it? Adhyatmika, suffering from your own body. You drive over the same street, some farmer comes out of the side and you crash into him. Adibodhika. Then you drive down the same street, there's ice on the street and you end up in a tree. Adidevika. In every situation, these elements are there. So Sarva Durgani, Mat Prasadam, by my mercy, Krishna says, Mat Prasadam Tarishyasi, by my mercy they will be destroyed. By Krishna's mercy. So therefore, Krishna is our only shelter. He is so kind that he comes into this material world. Not only that he creates the material world, he also comes to this material world. So I think my time is over now. I thank you so much. I realize time is over because people are leaving. Thank you very much. We won't have questions unless you have a question quick, but otherwise we leave it. I thank you so much for this opportunity. Tomorrow I will leave Vrindavan, from there to the Middle East, from there to Germany, and from there to Ekaterinburg in Russia for a month. And the beat will go on and on till I come up next year again, if Krishna will it, if Krishna so desires. I'm glad that some or other I have come to this movement. This lady over there, Mother Govinda Dasi, she also is a fossil. I'm a fossil, like a fossil, you know, from a fossil. We are the fossils of the Hare Krishna movement, you know. The dinosaurs, you know. We were there when Prabhupada was there. We could speak with Prabhupada. I'm in Sasha's feet at one stage. So it was a wonderful time because Prabhupada was right there. And the same is true for everybody else, because if you actually read Srila Prabhupada's books seriously and loud for yourself, you will find that Srila Prabhupada is sitting beside you. Definitely. Sits right beside you. You can associate with Prabhupada just by hearing his books, or by hearing his tapes, or by reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Nobody is deprived of the chance to experience Srila Prabhupada. He reasons ill who think that Vaishnava dies whilst he's living still in sound. So thank you very much. I wish you all the best. Eat a lot of prasadam in the meantime. Chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, and preach your heart out. Some other. If you can bring people to Krishna, that's something most dear to Krishna. Most dear. That's for Krishna is really something. Imagine you're a father and you have a son and he goes bad. He starts taking heroin. And you care, you preach to him, it doesn't make a difference. So he's lost. And the neighbor's boy, you never had a high opinion of him, you always thought he was a rascal. So you preach to your son to give up heroin. How much the son comes back and says, Father, I stopped it. How? My friend told me, he preached to me. how much you will be indebted to this boy. Never mind that he was a rascal, even if he was a thief, it doesn't matter. So Krishna doesn't look, whatever the past. Prabhupada said, what's done is done. If we actually help rectifying people by our preaching, then Krishna is most impressed. Krishna will say, okay, you distribute the Krishna conscious movement to others, so you will distribute the Krishna conscious movement in your own heart. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.